All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Telling you that it is Thursday, March 30th, 2023. Welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio. Coming up in this hour, in our hometown health segment with Dr. Kristen Lyerly, we will meet with Dr. Christopher Ford, an emergency medicine doc who is part of the lawsuit challenging the state's 1849 criminal abortion ban. Dr. Ford also chaired the People's Maps Commission that seeks to end gerrymandering in our state, and he's among the more than 300 physicians who joined Dr. Lyerly in publicly endorsing Judge Janet Protasiewicz in next week's big state Supreme Court election, which is just 5 days away now. But before we get to Kristen's, that'll actually be Kristen's second guest this hour, because again, working overtime, Kristen's brought us a guest for the first half of the hour as well, Dr. Lyerly, overachiever, way to go.
I'm just really lucky to know some pretty incredible people.
You do. Actually, I was talking with the Motherhood for Good ladies, Nicole and Kate. Mm-hmm. And do you know what I missed? And we're gonna introduce you, your friend Renee. If you're watching on the live stream, poor Renee is just like, would you guys just get with the program here? Renee, 2 seconds here, just a second. So I'm away for just about 2 weeks on a break, and I see that Julia Louis-Dreyfus from Seinfeld was doing like a video with Kristen Bry, and then I think she promoted Dan Schaefer's thing. She'd been making the rounds, and as I'm sending a note to the Motherhood for Good ladies, I look at their feed and I see Julia Louis-Dreyfus doing a video with Kate. I'm like, I clearly missed out on the Julia Louis-Dreyfus, appearances to promote the election here. But I've got some of the next best things. I got you. Uh-huh. And I got all the other amazing people that you have introduced me to. And we get to make a new friend today. And Renee, tell us about her.
We do. So Renee is a friend, a new friend, who kind of appeared out of nowhere. All of a sudden, I was hearing about this incredible woman.
Okay, hold on. Before you even do, like you. You appeared out of nowhere. We're all here minding our own business, being boring radio and political people. And out comes this, as I hear from all the people you introduced me to, this whirlwind comes out from the horizon and sweeps people up. And so I don't doubt that Renee has a story similar to yours of just having a quiet life and saying, no, we got to do more. And that's what you saw in Renee.
Pretty much like you're living your life, you're being a mom, you're making a difference in the world with what you do every single day. And then something happens like Dobbs and you decide, I need to do more. And somehow you muster that courage. And all of a sudden you find yourself putting together a giant rally that's about to happen in Green Bay this weekend. Renee Pabelham, welcome this morning. We are so excited to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, Renee, you said you work with adult special needs in that area, and again, kind of minding your own business. Can you tell us a bit about, because we're all about trying to give people that spark to increase their civic engagement. Sometimes it's a positive spark. Other times it's a spark that makes you angry. Was there that kind of a moment for you in the Dobbs decision?
Yeah. It was the day that I had found out about the Dobbs decision, like many women around the state. I don't know that I was sad about it. I was just incredibly, incredibly angry. And it took a little while for me to realize that it was going to take doing something different on my end to make myself feel good, to be able to sleep at night, because honestly, to let it go the way it has gone did not sit well, and I just couldn't let it be.
I kind of want to work front to back, but I do want to start at the end point here, because you do have a big rally coming up that you're planning. You want to tell us about that first?
I do. I have a rally coming up tonight, actually, at the Tarleton Theater in Green Bay. Doors open at 6 p.m. We'll have some resource tables. They have dinner there for everyone to grab a bite to eat, grab a table, and then speakers start at 7 p.m. and we go until 8.
Any speakers I would know?
Do you know Dr. Hector Rodriguez?
I know of, yes.
Yeah, he'll be there speaking about the impact of the election on the Latino community. Emmy Gibson.
Okay.
She's Planned Parenthood campus organizer for UWGB.
Good. So here you are. You're a rally organizer now.
Well, this is my second one. I did one in Kewaunee. Right after the Dobbs decision or shortly.
So let's back up to when you were inspired to do this. What was the first thing that you did when you got this idea? Like, I've got all this energy. I've got this need. I need to do more. Here's how I'm going to do it.
Well, I think it started, I went to a rally. I was looking and looking, and I didn't have social media. Like, I had 50 followers on Snapchat, maybe the same on Instagram. So I was kind of scouring the internet for women's marches to show support for that. So I found one nearby in Sturgeon Bay. I think it was July 4th. And then I got home and I was still so mad. So I was looking for more, like in Green Bay, Manitowoc, Two Rivers, anywhere. And I just didn't see any. So I'm like, well, I'm just going to have my own then. Because I couldn't find a resolution that fit what I needed. So I just thought I'd do it myself.
So it really just started with going to a rally and being part of that energy and recognizing that you too could do it.
Yes. And seeing the support it drew. I mean, that one in Sturgeon Bay must have had, I mean, it had a couple hundred people. It was a great showing.
And ultimately to do what? Because again, it was energy. You did feel some anger or what have you, but what is it you're motivating folks to do?
Get to the polls. Mm-hmm. Bottom line is, this is a game. It's a strategy. It's a numbers game, and we have the numbers. It's just a matter of getting people to the polls.
It's a matter of turnout. Exactly. Renee Papelheim is our guest. We'll continue our conversation with her in just a minute. We're going to take a break. We're going to get the latest forecast update from weatherology meteorologist Jennifer Wachitsky. It's got some snow in it for the near term, but then some really nice weather beyond that. In the meantime, what's the number one reason you would tell people not to skip out on next week's election? You can call, email, or put a comment in Facebook. We'll be back after this. You're up north.
I waited till I saw the sun. I don't know why I didn't come. I left you by the house of fun.
Again, as we noted, a lot of birthdays today, including Nora Jones there, who turns 44. Jennifer Wachitsky from Weatherology joins us, and I get the impression, we've talked about this a couple of times, but it seems to be getting more and more clear now that spring is really on the doorstep. But before you can get out the door, there's a flaming bag of poo on the doorstep in the form of another burst of winter weather. And Jennifer's here to tell us more about the forecast around Wisconsin as we head into the weekend. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty great way to say it for sure. And we're looking at a bunch of everything actually here for the next couple of days coming up. So, particularly here for tomorrow, Friday is going to be an interesting day. A chance for some rain for most today, starting at mid to late afternoon and at least a slightly below average here for most as well. A chance for rain and snow mixing in the western parts of the state in the afternoon hours, about 10 degrees below where we should be around there. For Friday, in the south central to southern parts of the state, just below Wisconsin Rapids to Madison over to the lakefront, a chance for showers and thunderstorms with a marginal to a moderate risk for severe weather. That moderate risk is going to be more so in the southwestern portions of the state, and a warm front's going to come into the area. So directly behind that, a cold front will push through. So that clash of warmer and cooler weather will give that risk for tomorrow. Overall, a warmer day and above average for most tomorrow as that system moves through as well. And of course, it's something we'll keep you posted on with those severe weather chances. Other parts of the state are looking at more of a winter potential by the nighttime hours Friday night. Wisconsin Rapids, Wausau over to Amory and Baldwin. A winter storm watch will go into effect here on Friday night with about 3 to 6 inches of snow in central Wisconsin, 4 to 8 inches, a little bit more in the western parts of Wisconsin. Then a chance for some sort of precipitation in the form of snow or rain-snow mix on Saturday for most, to start off the weekend with cooler weather all around, then warmer on Sunday, as a warm front pushes through. Then dry for most except for central Wisconsin, with chances for rain or rain-snow mix on Sunday as well.
I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. Winter doesn't go away until it breaks you. There's always that one last one that'll do it. And maybe, hopefully this is the one. Jennifer, thank you very much. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, you too.
All right. Let's continue our conversation now with Dr. Lyerly and with Renee Papelheim about just getting involved, just doing something. And Renee, we kind of covered both ends of the line of, you know, you getting motivated, and then the big rally that you're planning for tonight to keep people motivated toward voting on Tuesday. let's talk about everything that's in the middle. When you talked about going to a rally, realizing that, you know, more needed to be done. You've been doing more than just, you know, planning rallies though. I mean, it's involved what, billboards and other things. Tell us what all you've been doing over the past year plus.
As things come up, as my rally ended again, that anger, that fire was still there. So I thought, well, what else can I do to promote this in people's minds, to have them keep thinking about it? So I put up a big billboard in Kewaunee. I work hand in hand with the Democratic Party of Kewaunee County. They have been an amazing resource to help me fundraise, to help me get my ideas out there. I raised enough money, so I put up that big static billboard, and then I had some more left over. So I designed some a little bit provocative yard signs and distributed them to local Democratic parties.
Provocative in what way?
I mean, there was a little cuss word on there. It said, "All right, ladies, let's do this something or other." So it was a Rosie the Riveter, and it was in her little talk bubble there. And then it also told people to vote for Democrats on the day of the midterm. And then
this, by the way, when you talk about the Democratic Party being a resource, I think this is important to let people know. First off, there's probably a lot of folks who still aren't aware that there are national parties, the national Democratic and Republican parties. There are state parties, but there are also county parties throughout the state, throughout the country and everything. And some things are done as a party, as part of the Democratic or Republican Party. But party offices can also be a resource for people who want to do their own thing, but they need a little bit of assistance. And so, while yes, the same could be said for Republican parties, I would say that for our purposes of this discussion, if somebody were to be in contact with their local Democratic Party, you could choose to do things through them, or you could just simply choose to get their assistance in doing your own thing.
Yes. And a lot of times for me, it was just they were a conductor. They helped me hook up with somebody that I could use for knowledge or other resources. It's been just an amazing alliance. And I do like to move and shake outside the party. I find that I can do things, again, just slightly provocative. I'm not trying to be out there and over the line, but I am trying to catch people's eyes in a different way.
Well, that's really important when you live in a place like Kewaunee, which is not necessarily known to be a hotbed of progressive action.
Correct. Yeah, I think we need to be a little more visible. And actually hearing from a lot of my supporters, a lot of them wanted to remain anonymous. This is a very small town. Like you said, it's very red. And it's difficult for people to make a stance or to put a sign in their yard, whatever that sign may be. It's hard. So I understand that, and I'll take silent support as well.
Whatever that sign may be, I'm looking at some photos you sent me of the signs you made. For example, one that says, "If my uterus fired bullets, would you stop regulating it?" I mean,
well, come on now.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Those were my protest signs for the first march I went to. And I found that to be wonderful therapy, just to get my thoughts on a piece of cardboard.
You said as well that to get on social media, you created your first Facebook page. You had speakers such as people we've talked to on this show, Dr. Jillian Bettino, Andrea Gage Michaels, Julie Hancock, and others. So, I mean, you've been kind of the organizer, but all it needs is one person to start, and then a whole lot of other people are happy to pitch in and help you, it appears.
Absolutely. It's a really great feeling. And it's a really amazing experience to know that support is out there. You just got to look for it a little bit, and Dems are more than happy to help you achieve your goals.
More than Dems. I mean, you are that catalyst in your tight-knit community where, like you said, some people don't want to be really out there and really vocal, but there is a lot of support. And sometimes all you need is just to demonstrate that, hey, I feel strongly about this. And other people start to come out of the woodwork and say, I do too. They just need you to help them find their voice.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that. I'm more than happy.
All right, so we come to this Supreme Court election, which again is nonpartisan in name only. I mean, after all, Dan Kelly was paid to give legal advice to the Republican Party. He ran his 2020 campaign out of Republican Party offices. You've got Janet Protasiewicz, who is running with significant Democratic Party help. So the parties are involved, like it or not. The outside groups are involved, like it or not, to the tune of, now it's something like $40 million that you're competing with, you and every other individual who wants to get involved. And yet it certainly appears to me that it's the power of the individual, whether it's you and Kristen and the Motherhood for Good people and the group in Door County, Kristen, that you introduced us to at one point as well. It's those individuals who can really influence individual voters. Do you sense that you still have that power with the individuals who are going to vote in your community?
I think so. Again, I think it's just that people see that you represent them, that you're just an average person and that you care, and that average people realize that something different needs to be done. Because we know the definition of crazy right is doing the same thing and expecting different results. The writing is on the wall. When the Dobbs decision came down, that the Supreme Court does appear to be politicized at least a little bit, so that if we don't vote and we don't act and we don't move, nothing will change and it will not get better.
So you mentioned Dr. Rodriguez. And so I want to go into, you've done billboards, you've done rallies, you've done lawn signs. You did TikTok with the help of Dr. Rodriguez. Why?
Well, I feel it's really important that we amplify the message to the Latino community. I feel like it's an area that maybe we really should be pursuing, or should have maybe pursued a lot deeper, a lot sooner, to grab those voters, because I believe there is an interest there for voting. It's just, again, there's a real disconnect between the Latino community sometimes in getting to the polls. And Dr. Rodriguez is so passionate about it, and he's such a great educator, and helps people understand the process. And once you walk them through it once, you have a voter for life. So he's doing amazing, amazing work. He helps put his messages out. I've put them on billboards. I've put them on posters. It's just a really nice collaboration.
But TikTok, you didn't even have, I mean, you had like a little bit of social media experience, and suddenly you figured out how to do TikTok.
Yes. And that TikTok is amazing. I love it. We'll see how it goes with the ban. I certainly understand both sides of that debate, but it's a really nice tool, and I'm still learning all of them, but yeah, it's wonderful.
I think everything is constantly evolving. And, you know, when we're looking at like polling data and what's happened in the past, we're always trying to predict what's going to happen in the future. But to Pat's point earlier, things are different now. And now, as we're reaching back into our communities and trying to get rid of all of the garbage and the flyers and the independent expenditures and the dark money that are trying to influence us, it really is about that personal touch and those conversations you're having with your neighbors, especially in small communities like Kewaunee.
Yes, I agree.
So what's next? You have the rally here. So what will your life be like from now until 8 o'clock on Tuesday night when the polls close?
Oh gosh. Well, I'm doing some canvassing this Sunday. Hopefully I'll grab a friend to come with me. Probably more TikToks. I'll definitely be sending out texts to all of my friends and family and coworkers, reminding them to work. I found that to be a very effective tool. So I don't know.
Ask you about the text, because I think I agree with you that is something I certainly intend to do. But again, you know, you and I and Kristen, we have much less of a filter than other people. But for the rest of humanity out there, just take them through it. Just say, what would you want what should that text say to be effective, and who should they send it to?
Okay. So with my friends, I just let them know. So what I've realized is that the people that I work around and care about and hang around are very busy. And although they care about these things, they do not remember when elections are. It's just the human behavior we have to accept. So when it comes time to election, some of my friends, I don't need to say much, just, hey, the election's coming up, go to the polls. If it's somebody I know that doesn't know that much about elections, I'll say, hey, make sure you vote for Janet Protasiewicz for Supreme Court judge, because obviously everyone's located somewhere different. But definitely I will, highlight the big races that have the greatest impact. Mm-hmm. So definitely For a lot of people, it's reinforcing vote for Janet on Tuesday.
And those personal conversations mean everything when they come from a trusted source like you.
Oh, very much so. And by the way, while we have spent most of our focus on the state Supreme Court race, I know Nicole and Kate and others have been also focused on making sure people know that these school board races are extremely essential, along with school referenda. There's 80 plus referenda out there as well. All of it deserving of people's support and involvement with people like Renee Pappelham. Renee, thank you so much. Wish you all the best tonight. It's been great to meet you.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Take a break here. Then Dr. Christopher Ford will join Dr. Lyerly for Hometown Health. Coming up next, you're up north.
I don't know why I didn't come.
Eric Clapton is 78 years old today. A song changed the world that helps usher in Hometown Health, our segment with Dr. Kristen Lyerly, where we talk about either issues or people that are trying to improve the collective health of their community or of an entire state. And as we discussed yesterday with Kristen, more than a handful of docs and other health professionals and med students signed a letter about the state Supreme Court race. Kristen, I was trying to make a graphic about it yesterday to accompany a story that just got posted at upnorthnewswi.com. And I thought, well, I'll put a little page of the letter in there. And so I grabbed the first page and then the second page, and I wanted to show the number of doctors who had signed it. So there was a third page. It's 13 pages of signatures. Yeah. This is not one or two docs out here. Talk about the power of that as you introduce our guest, Dr. Ford.
So this is a document that contains over 300 signatures from physicians, medical students, pharmacists, nurses. It is doctors from OBGYN to ophthalmology to infectious disease, oncology, anesthesia. Every specialty is represented. And all of these cities, I mean, let me just list a few of these cities: Neenah, Plover, Blue Mounds, Soldiers Grove, Omro, Menominee, Hayward, Belleville. I could go on and on. Every corner of Wisconsin, every type of health professional. This is a really big deal because we recognize that this state Supreme Court race has a giant impact on our ability to take care of our patients. And that's why we're here this morning with the incredible Dr. Christopher Ford. Welcome, Chris.
Oh my goodness. Thank you guys. Thanks, Pat. Chris, and thanks, Pat.
Well, I didn't mention, and just let me mention that Dr. Ford is not only an emergency medicine doctor, but he also is a fellow of the American, I'm going to get this right, American College of Emergency Physicians.
Yes. And watching on Facebook going, why does he have FACEP? That's why, because he's a fellow with the American College of Emergency Physicians. Okay.
Yeah. He's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
And he was the chair of the People's Maps Commission. So when Governor Evers pulled a bunch of people across the state together to create fair maps, Dr. Ford was the guy at the helm. So not only is he a physician, but also obviously a dedicated community servant. And we're just so excited to have you.
And part of the lawsuit challenging the 1849 abortion ban. So Dr. Ford, our whole theme today has been about people choosing to get involved. Lives are busy enough as they are, but you choose to get involved in these endeavors. Tell us why.
Yeah, well, my wife would say I need to find more relaxing hobbies, I guess. So, but I would say my reason for joining the discipline of emergency medicine was more so to help patients both in the emergency department as well as out in the community. Emergency medicine is really at the forefront of medicine in terms of we have the ability to take a patient from being a normal citizen walking off the street and affecting their lives sometimes almost instantly by providing care. And so outside of that too, we have the ability to advocate for patients who don't have the means to advocate for themselves. And kind of it's my program that I went to, University of Wisconsin, we have a huge tenet of community service. And so kind of lend hand in hand, and I look for opportunities whenever I can to help my patient demographics and help people throughout the state of Wisconsin.
And your job is no joke. It is a really stressful job. What is the thing that keeps you up at night between your job and your civic service dedication? What is that thing?
Yeah. So I would say at this point in time, especially with how high the stakes are in this election upcoming, as you guys spoke to the letter that was just recently published in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, I think myself as well as the rest of my colleagues are kept up at night by having our hands tied at this point in time by, an archaic law that was created, to be honest with you, before we knew microorganisms caused diseases. Right. And so we all have signed on to this letter, myself, I know Chris and you have as well. And it demonstrates how important, this election is to women's health and how it is to the health of individuals throughout the state. And I can tell you, I don't know everybody on this list, but I do know a good amount of them. And I can tell you that there are medical professionals, doctors, nurses, as we said before, that sit on both sides of the political fence and, along the political spectrum. And it just demonstrates how high the stakes are and how important this election is.
When you talk about political interference in the exam room, what does that mean?
Yeah, so we're seeing across the nation cases of complications and emergent situations. We are trained as medical professionals to effectively treat complications. I see it more so in the emergent setting, in which lives are at risk right now, and there's what we call risk of morbidity and mortality, so bad outcomes and even death in some situations. And in the best of circumstances, prior to 2022, when the Dobbs decision was struck down and when the 1849 law became the law of the land, we knew that we could effectively provide, treatment modalities as needed in emergent situations. And even in those situations, they're, still high acuity situations, you said high stress. But now, we're having colleagues having to be on the phone with lawyers instead of their, colleagues from the obstetrical department to help make decisions on how to proceed. And that can be really dangerous when seconds and minutes matter.
It really can. And, something that Dr. Lyerly has helped us understand, but now I'd like your standpoint for as an emergency physician, is that when we talk about the notion of reproductive health care rights and abortion itself, there has been created this image because of a right-wing paintbrush is painting this picture over the years that abortion is nothing more than, some women who have some regrets about something, and it's like going to it's a matter of convenience. And it is so much more complex than that. Can you talk about it from an emergency department perspective, dealing with women's care, miscarriages, pregnancies, what have you, that there's so much more than the very simplistic and completely inaccurate picture being painted about abortion?
Yeah. And when you paint with that political brush, you miss the intricacies of case presentations. As you said, Pat, we have many patients that come in that have, miscarriages, as you said, a condition that's called ectopic pregnancies, which is a non-survivable pregnancy, but can be deadly for women who are experiencing them and who can't get operative care in order to terminate that pregnancy in order to save their lives. I've seen women, unfortunately, who have succumbed to bleeding risk associated with this. And so these are things that, again, we know how to treat. These are things that can be easily treated by trained professionals. We work hand in hand with colleagues like Dr. Lyerly as well in order to kind of make sure that we prevent, bad outcomes. But you have to act quickly.
I don't mean to jump on you there, but I want you to just say again, because you medical terminology is great, and you talk about they mm-hmm. succumbed to their issues. Let's call it what it is. You've had to watch women bleed to death because of complications of a bad pregnancy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've had
and that this will happen more.
this will happen more. And, you know, we're seeing it in Texas. You know, there are many cases that have happened in other states that have, you know, similar, very restrictive laws on the books to say, you know, this is what you can do, this is what you can't do. And physicians are frankly afraid in some cases as to if they will be prosecuted. For instance, in Wisconsin, you know, as a physician, you can be prosecuted, you can go to jail, you know, as per the law of the land right now. And it's a very gray area if someone will stand in your corner and say, you know, this person was doing the best that they could in order to do no harm for this patient. But those stakes are real. And so I don't want my, you know, compatriots, I don't want my, you know, my colleagues to be hesitant in those moments when you know, you know, the stakes are high and that women can die from this.
We train for years to learn how to take care of people in these types of situations. And it is so incredibly frustrating and painful and unfair to be in a situation with a patient who is experiencing an emergency, and we're faced with the decision of whether to commit malpractice, which we wouldn't do because we are committed to taking care of our patients, or to face a felony. I mean, really, those are the two choices. And you see this all the time because that's the environment that you work in. I at least have the luxury of talking through some of these situations with my patients in clinic, but every situation you see is an emergency.
Absolutely. You know, I've had the privilege of practicing in a lot of different communities in the state of Wisconsin throughout my career. You know, I've been in rural Wisconsin, you know, near the Minnesota border before. And I can tell you, you know, even in the best of circumstances, you're at a level one, you know, training center, University of Wisconsin or, you know, MCW. These situations are dangerous, but they get exponentially more dangerous when you're, you know, at a critical access center, meaning, you know, it's a hospital that services a smaller community, a rural community, where those resources are few and far in between, or, you know, you have to cross the border in order to get the definitive treatment. And so, you know, those things, you know, if you're waiting on that transport, you know, we don't live in LA, we have snowstorms, you know, we have all sorts of things that can limit time already. And so when seconds and minutes matter, you know, you don't want to be on the phone with the lawyer when your patient could have been down the road getting life-saving therapy.
And so, as I said at the start of the segment, despite all of that, despite the life and death decisions that have to be made, more and more physicians and other medical professionals are choosing to increase their level of civic engagement. And it could be something as, you know, quote unquote, simple as signing a letter about a Supreme Court race. But frankly, there's nothing simple about that either, because now your name is out there. Now you're taking a side. So it starts as simple, quote unquote, as that. But then there's also involvement in things like what you do with the People's Maps Commission, or taking part in court actions, or Kristen running for office. And I would say again that don't let what Kristen and Dr. Ford are saying here, don't let it fool you. Dr. Ford, physicians are notorious for trying not to get involved in these kinds of things. So it's it has to be really something important to motivate people to step up.
Yeah, and I can tell you, physicians' loved ones are more advocating for those for not getting involved in some of these situations.
Amen.
But you know, you're absolutely right, Pat. You know, it emphasizes how important these matters are. You know, my engagement with the People's Maps Commission was that I was seeing, you know, the disparities that my patients were experiencing, you know, during the pandemic. You know, during having the lack of resources, worse patient outcomes, and a lot of that harkens back to or representation at the state level. Well, where does that come from? It can come from gerrymandering, right? We have some of the worst gerrymandering in the country. And so, you know, all those efforts and efforts like, you know, this letter, efforts like, you know, being interveners with Josh Call on this law, you know, we are trying to do all we can in the exam rooms and outside the exam rooms in order to, you know, make our state a better place for our patients as well as for our families.
I really can't look my patients in the eye and tell them that there are all of these unnecessary barriers and that I can't do anything for them without actually trying to do something for them on the level where it does make a difference. And that is part of the fuel that keeps me going on this higher level. But it's harder for people from other specialties, you know, for us, because we're seeing this stuff happening in our exam rooms and in the emergency department. It's easier for us, but when it comes to ophthalmologists or health psychologists getting involved here, that to me really underlines the importance and the urgency of our engagement and recognizing that we all have to speak out here. This is that time.
Absolutely. And I appreciate, you know, everyone who has signed on to this letter. It was truly a multidisciplinary effort. You know, it was across the interdisciplinary teams. We have nurses, we have techs, we have people throughout all allied healthcare that have signed on to this. And it, like you said, it emphasizes how important this is and how much it affects all of our lives.
Without a doubt, Dr. Ford, and we appreciate you taking some time out of, well, you even took time out of making pancakes.
I still got some.
I feel like Prince here.
Diabetes don't stop.
There you go. Another Prince reference, Kristen, just for you. We are very pro-breakfast show, so we will let you get back to that. And thank you again so much for being with us today.
Oh, wait.
What?
Happy Doctor's Day.
Happy Doctor's Day. Absolutely.
It's Doctor's Day?
Oh, yes.
My wife's been working overnight. She's going to be home in a few minutes. I don't have flowers ready for this.
Uh-huh. Come on over and get some pancakes. I got some.
I'm going to be making some pancakes, apparently. Thank you, Dr. Ford. Appreciate it. All right, Kristen, thank you for the reminder about that. Would you like to stick around with Mr. Mathers?
Yeah,
we're going to talk about what's next on, you know, Civic Media. So.
Yeah, and I'll call 1-800-Flowers for you.
Thank you. Sherry is spelled S-H-A-R-R. We'll be back right after this. You're up. Is this Luke Bryan? Are we still on the Luke Bryan thing with dueling sure tangents is. With Luke and Bryan? All right. You know, Kristen's going to yell at us. What did we forget? Forgot Marshall Mathers again. Holy cow.
It's been a couple weeks.
We got to work on this walk-up music routine here. Anyway, Mr. Mathers, co-host of Dueling Tangents, joins us in the Civic Media homeroom now. It's been a while, but somebody knew it was opening day today. He's got his Brewers cap on.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Is that it? Is that all for Brewers wear? Because then I just want to make sure y'all know I win, because I also got the Hawaiian shirt with the Brewers logo.
See, you know, besides the Brewers hoodie. I had a half contrived plan to have my Aloha Brewers shirt and some sunglasses on and be like, "Oh, welcome back from the island, sir." But
yes.
I turned the computer on and it decided to update. So I was frantically trying to make sure
I was all set before
the segment. So I did not get to it today, unfortunately. But I have a Brewers sweatshirt that I will be wearing.
Okay.
Later.
I overslept. I was stuck in traffic. I had to shovel my driveway. I had to update my computer.
She has just got you pegged.
And she's got zero Brewers.
Every Thursday, it's another excuse from this guy.
I'm here, aren't I? Come on.
Yes, you are. You are here to help us talk about Civic Media.
Didn't want me to be here. I didn't get a link until I had to request it from your fabulous producer this morning.
I sent you one.
I didn't get a link for today's show.
Maybe I sent it to Luke Bryan. I don't know.
Maybe you sent it to Bryan, but he's on vacation. So. All right.
But once again, Aaron saves the day.
I know.
I do my best.
It's what he does. Aaron also helps kick off the Civic Media homeroom on Thursdays by talking about the Cripes cast with Charlie Behrens, which airs over the weekends.
Well, I would, but I don't have this week's Cripes cast yet.
We have more excuses. Yeah.
I know what it is because Civic Media recorded it live at the Comedy on State on Monday. Professor Mike Wagner of UW, a professor of journalism, joined Charlie at the Comedy Club. It was a show presented by Civic Media. We were really excited about the turnout, almost a completely sold out show. And it was a phenomenal event. Back on Monday evening, they recorded the Cripes cast live. And it will be rebroadcast across the Civic Media Network this Saturday and Sunday at noon. So you can tune in then for the Cripescast. But it was a really great show. Charlie was selling tickets. All the proceeds went to the Boys and Girls Club of Dade County. There was an excellent turnout. It was a really great event. And we're really excited to be able to do like that, record the Cripescast live for this occasion.
Can I tell you just a very odd coincidence involving Charlie Behrens? As I was looking through the Up North News daily newsletters, just for their This Day in History segment, both 2 years ago today and 1 year ago today, we had stories about Charlie Behrens. 2 years ago, it was a video that went viral about, you know, being inside and, you know, coping and whatnot. And a year ago, it was that he was going to play the Wisconsin State Fair for the first time, that he'd been named as one of the headliners. So the guy gets around. Apparently, apparently talent will do that. Apparently, as I also learned earlier today, I might be the only person, I was on vacation, I might be the only person who Julia Louis-Dreyfus didn't do some show or video for. I'd seen what she had done for Kristen Bry and for some others. And then I'm looking at the Motherhood for Good page last night on Instagram, and there she is doing a live video with her. I am half expecting her to walk into Kristen's room right now and just appear on camera with her.
Well, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. No, instead Jerry Seinfeld sits down. Kramer sits next to Luke, you know. Sorry, Aaron gets Costanza, you know.
I like George. I'll take George. I've met Jason Alexander before, so they're a very great cast. The content that Julie Louis-Dreyfus is promoting, pardon me, ahead of the April 4th general election, very exciting, and there's a lot of people getting involved as well. The showrunner for Veep also joined Kristen on her show while you were out last week. Bradley Whitford was sharing some content as well earlier this week, star of The West Wing. So a lot of people getting involved, a lot of tension on the race. Civic Media will be doing a election night coverage across the entire state again coming up on Tuesday, April 4th. So we did this for the primary. We're really excited to do it again for the general. So we'll have reporters from around the state being able to contribute to all of the different elections, whether it's the local mayoral races, the referendums that are on the ballot, school board, all the way up to the state Supreme Court, which is the big statewide race on the ballot Tuesday. So if you haven't made a plan yet to be a voter, you can take advantage of early voting between today and tomorrow, the end of the week. And exactly, I love that. Look at that graphic. Myvote.wi.gov is the website to learn more about early voting, to check your registration status, and to make a plan to be a voter between now and next Tuesday. And then after you vote, you want to tune in. We're going to have a special coverage of As Goes Wisconsin. Jane and Kristen are going to do an hour, 7 to 8 p.m. And then once the polls close on Tuesday, Terry Bell, our news director, and Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show, will be anchoring the coverage around the state until we get some of our results. So expecting a pretty decent amount of coverage around the state, several hours, 8 to hopefully not 1 or 2 a.m. like those guys were anchoring back in the November midterms. But you can tune into Civic Media around the state for all the extensive coverage that you'll be looking for on Tuesday night.
I was going to say, as long as the results come in by, say, 8:31, I'll be able to catch them. But after that, you know, I'll just have to, you know, wake up and see how it looks for me. You know, speaking of celebrities, I noticed the other day, I didn't get a chance to link into it, but, you know, Ben Wickler, since he became chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, has brought in all kinds of firepower. And I noticed that John Bowser Bauman from Sha-na-na was on a call a couple of days ago, Kristen making the pose that Bowser made for all those years. He marched in a parade with me one year. When I was running for Congress, I think he was in one of our parades. He was in some other parades for other candidates up around here. Big crowd favorite still after all these years. There's a group that remembers Sha-na-na very well. And so when you're looking for, you know, those names that will help motivate people, you know, who did Ben bring together this last time? Oh, was Grease. It Grease, the cast of Grease.
Yep.
Coming on there too. I mean, there will come a time down the road where they will say, oh, we're bringing back the crew from Up North News Radio, you know, Luke and Aaron and Kristen and Pat. And they'll say, wow, you guys haven't aged a bit.
How about a little We Go Together, Aaron? We go together like a rumble, 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 remember forever. Come on, guys. Chubop, chubada, wada, yippity, boom, de boom. Chang, chang, changity, chang, chubop.
I'm not doing any singing on the radio.
Well, that's all the time we have for Up North News Radio today. You know how much we appreciate you. Kristen, thank you. You are such a ray of sunshine. Actually, you probably count as two or three to make up for the energy suckage that comes from me and Aaron and Mr. Mathers. But Luke, we appreciate you as well. Have a great day. Dueling Tangents, Shall we do 2 o'clock?
2 o'clock, cross the network. And opening day. Happy opening day, folks.
I know. Fantastic. All right.
Yeah, let's go brew.
Enjoy your Thursday. We'll see you tomorrow.